chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. Thank you, orchestra. Sounded good. Blessed assurance. Praise the Lord for the assurance of our salvation. And written by a blind lady. Man, what a... Oh, that lady. So impressed by her. The more I read about her, Fanny Crosby. What a poet. 8,000 poems that we know of. A lot of them she wrote under the different names because she got so tired of people worshiping her. She would use other names to write poems or just leave them unnamed. And boy, she knew God. She knew God. All right, brass members, there's music over here. Let's take it and practice it, okay? And get ready to play next week. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read verses 4 through 8 to begin our message this evening. It says this, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Here's my text, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." I want to pick up on this morning's message. It was just an introduction for those that weren't here. I spoke this morning on the subject of a people person. A people person. You and I ought to be people persons. We ought to live for others. We ought to live for others. We talked about Paul. He was a preacher. Paul, he was a man of prayer. Paul was a man of the people. We saw in Romans 16 where he mentions 35 different people that were a blessing in his life and that he worked with. In Colossians 4, we saw 11 people he mentioned who were a blessing in his life or that he worked with. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we mentioned, I think, 19 people that he wrote down. These are first names. We talked about 102 men that he mentions in his 14 books that he wrote in the New Testament who crossed paths with him that he worked with. Now, a few of these people were his enemies, but for the most part of them were fellow helpers, laborers. He was a people person. Paul is a pattern for you and I to follow. And he just got out there among the people, and he subjected himself to hurt. He subjected himself to being misused. He subjected himself to ingratitude. But none of these things moved him. None of these things made him quit. And I know how difficult it is. Some of you have shared that with me, how you're just to the point of almost being tired of helping anyone anymore. You're just tired of it. Because the lack of gratitude today, we talked about that last week, and being one of the signs of the times, unthankful. And how hard it is, some ministries. Any of you that have ever been in the bus ministry know what it's like to just pour your soul into some children or into some families. And you pray for them. Sometimes you pray for them every day and you visit them every week. And then you show up one week and they say, "We're not coming anymore. We're going to another church." Like it's nothing. And you just almost have to leave your heart there and pick up and go on. And some of you know the hurt that people can cause, and we're all subject to that. If you are gonna live in this world and breathe, and you know have blood pumping through your flesh, living in a world of sinners, you got to expect to be hurt, to be misused. You got to expect ingratitude, and you can't plan your expectations. But with that, God will bless you with a lot of fruit. He'll bless you with some genuine conversions. He'll bless you with some who will become disciples for Christ, good Christians, and some who literally grow and excel yourself in their spirituality. And it'll bless your heart. Live for others. Live for others. Paul lived for others. He said, for we were gentle among you. He talked about his gospel ministry and his discipleship ministry. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And now notice verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. So we didn't just want to win you to Christ and get another notch in our belt so we could tell everybody how many people we saved. We said we didn't just impart to you the gospel only, but our own souls. We poured our own souls into your life. And this is an example of the verse I closed the sermon with this morning, 1 John 3:16. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I think Paul was saying the same thing. He says, we didn't just give you the gospel, we gave you our souls. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I know it's going to hurt. Keep in mind these two patterns, the two premier patterns we have in the New Testament. Christ, number one, was crucified. Paul was beheaded. And all they ever did was love people and help minister to them. We cannot expect any less, but you can't quit. You can't get to the place where you've had. Now, we have some in our church who are at that point. I fear for some. I see some falling away from our church because they're to that point where they're just tired of it. We can't get tired of it. We have got to be a people person the rest of our lives. And believe me, in eternity, you'll never regret it. You will regret living a selfish life in eternity. You'll regret living a self-centered life. You'll regret living a life given for the accumulation of money. You'll regret that in heaven when you get there. You'll regret a life that all you wanted to do was go shopping and gain more material things in your life and bigger things and better things. You will regret that in eternity. But nobody will ever regret giving their lives for others. Giving their lives for people. And I want to continue this thought of a people person tonight. The helper of the hurting. The helper of the hurting. And I encourage you this morning to, if you have to make radical changes, some of you don't need to change anything. You're a people person already. You love people. You're out among people. You're working with people. And you just eat it up, and you have your disappointments, but you just keep going. You don't have to change. Some need a little bit of change because God has called you. Maybe you don't feel adequate, but God's going to use you in some capacity to really influence a lot of people's lives. But some today need to make such drastic changes because people's the last thing they want anything to do with. And if you're going to be a Christian, the Christian religion is about living for other people. That's what the Christian religion is. You cannot ever call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself a believer. It's all right. Maybe even a disciple starting to learn about Christ. But you can't call yourself a Christian if you don't place yourself out there and just make yourself available to minister and help people. You got to keep doing it. You're going to get beat up. The devil's not going to like it. We're talking at the end of the message this morning about how difficult it's been to keep the care ministry going in our church. It's probably been one of the most difficult ministries to keep going. Even right now we're having difficulty. We have less people in it today, I think, than we've ever had before. Shouldn't be that way. And there's a lot of people who used to be in it. Those were the best days of your life. They were the most difficult days. The devil was opposing you, without a doubt. He's going to. He does not want you to care. He'll let you go to church. He'll let you sing in the choir, let you play your instruments, maybe even let you work in a ministry or something like that. But boy, as soon as you start caring for people, why? Because compassion, the Bible says in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 22, is what makes a difference. And he does not want you to be a difference-making Christian. And so it's okay to him if you go through the motions of your ministry and never mentor anybody else, never involve yourself in it, it's okay with him. But boy, when somebody starts caring for others, that person's going to make a profound difference in others, because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one to another." And so many I've seen begin to backslide as soon as they quit the care ministry. And it really wasn't that hard of a ministry. It was like a one Sunday a month thing. And some could not even keep doing that. Others, we gave a break because they got into many other ministries, and that's important too. I understand that. But man, this thing has been hard to keep alive. Now, to be honest with you, I think we've had a great year. As a church, as a chapel, it's been a wonderful year of ministry, I think. But I think there's a profound power to caring for other people. As a congregation, people expect it from a pastor, it's a professional thing. But when a congregational member does it, that's a powerful thing. You know, a pastor calls an absentee, a pastor writes a letter to an absentee, a pastor sends a postcard to an absentee, a pastor makes a visit to an absentee. That's like a professional courtesy there. It's expected. But when a church member does it, there's the potential for profoundly influencing that person. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse number 2, it says, "And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." It's the only time the law of Christ is ever mentioned in the Scriptures. That's bearing one another's burdens, helping people carry their loads. We need to be a helper of the hurting as if we're going to be a people person. And Paul was a people person. Christ was a people person. You can't get away from it. If you read the Bible even casually, you can't get away from the influence that Christ lived for others. And he was busier than all of us were busy. And Paul lived for others. And when he did, he was gentle among them. As a nurse cherisheth her children, he imparted to them not only the gospel, but his own souls, because ye were dear unto us. And we talked this morning about people were dear to Paul. He said, my fellow helper, my brother, my kinsman in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. He used terms like, he said, salute Persis, salute Asyncritus, and all these other people, salute them. We should have reverence, we should have respect for God's people. They should be dear to us. I'm probably preaching to the choir because you're back on a Sunday night. Something brings you back. For your kids, it's your parents. But some of you, it's the love of Christ, and it's the love of the brethren. That's how it ought to be. You know, we're having problems with that today because iniquity abounds today. And sin has that hardening effect of Hebrews 3:13. Sin hardens people. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so keeping love warm in my heart as a pastor, in your heart, keeping love warm in the church has been difficult. It's been difficult. We've got to work at it. This doesn't just happen. It happens on purpose. It's a result of prayer and the Holy Ghost. But if we're going to be a people person, which is what a Christian must be, there's no alternative. We've got to help the hurting. We've got to help the hurting. In the Apostle Paul said these words. He said, "If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use." The word meet means fit. Fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So I want to say some things tonight to help prepare you unto the good work of being a people person so that we can be fruitful. Some of these things I've taught before, I need to review myself. So I want to do that. We're supposed to be fruitful in every good work and the work of people. God wants to give us fruit that remains. Do you understand that? God wants to give every one of you fruit that remains from the influence of your life. Every one of you, myself, and you, every one of us, God wants us to live outside of ourselves, outside of our immediate family. And as I said this morning, that immediate family, that's great. Praise God for our families, but that's a gimme. God even expects the unsaved to take care of themselves. But we got to get outside of our element and outside of our family and minister to others and just present ourselves to God, to go out there as soul winners, as disciplers, and to get into people's lives as friends, as prayer warriors, as mentors, and help them along. Jesus, I want you to look at Luke 14. If I can't convince you of this, Luke chapter 4, I mean, and I want to show you something else. Luke 4 and verse 18, we see what Jesus was, but how he became that. Now, we know he was God. I understand that. But the Lord was a people person. We talked about that this morning. Nobody can study the life of Christ but say his life was all about one thing. That was people. That was others. He didn't care if they were alone or if in a crowd or whatever. Jesus was there. He didn't care if they were demon-possessed or full of leprosy. He didn't care if they were blind. He didn't care if they were just taken in the act of adultery. He didn't care if they were up and outers like Nicodemus. Or down and outers like the woman at the well. He didn't care. He just put himself out there to cross paths with people and try to help everybody, rich or poor. Didn't matter to him. Didn't matter if they were Jews or Samaritans. Didn't matter a thing to him. He just wanted to work with people. And there were certain things that he was. And I want you to notice, you gotta grab the first statement here of verse 18 before you can understand what he did. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now we're going to see at least five ministries that he had to hurting people because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. You know something? I think there's a lot of misconceptions today about Spirit-filled people. And we have this idea, not so much in our church, but in the body of Christ, that Spirit-filled people, it's all about worship and praise. Now it's all about people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Is the Spirit of the Lord upon me? Well, let's just compare ourselves now, put ourselves right next to Christ. What happened when the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus Christ? Number one, he was a Savior. Notice this, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This verse presents him as a Savior. A Savior. Now, we can't save anybody. But we can preach the gospel to the poor, just like Jesus did, and get people saved. But he was a Savior. These were hurting people. These were lost people. And the first thing that we see as a product of him being filled with the Spirit is that he preaches the gospel to people. He gets people saved. He's a Savior. Number two, the product of his being filled with the Spirit is he is a healer. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The world is filled with brokenhearted people. And a Spirit-filled person will be a healer. Again, that has to do with people. Number three, to preach deliverance to the captives. He is a deliverer, number three, and this word captives refers to addicts. These are addicts. These are people with addictions. Almost everyone has some kind of addiction. Almost everybody. Unless you're some superior example of the human race who just profoundly is a man of, or woman of character and discipline, you probably have something you're struggling with every single day of your life. The Bible says he is a deliverer to those that are captives. Again, this is a ministry to people. The Spirit of God enables him to preach deliverance to the captives, to set people free from whatever they are enslaved to. An addiction, a vice, a sin which doth so easily beset them, a weight that they carry around all the time. And then he is a recoverer. A recoverer of sight to the blind. I use the word illuminator here. He gives enlightenment to those that are in blindness, those who lack common sense, lack wisdom, lack understanding, lack knowledge. Again, everything he is doing by the Spirit of God is for the benefit of people. Then he sets at liberty them that are bruised. Those are the abused. He is a liberator. He liberates abused people from their abuse. There is nobody that needs to be a prisoner of their past for the rest of their life. If they'll just meet Jesus Christ, Christ can set them free from their abuse. Christ can teach them to forgive. Christ can teach them to release that, to overcome that, to even use that to prepare them to minister to other people who are abused. I know a certain pastor's wife who, when she was a little girl, was raped repeatedly by a man who would take her to the lake and hold her under the water until she submitted to him. That's how she grew up, over and over and over again. You would never know that today if you met her. Why? Because Jesus Christ is even greater than that. The Lord Jesus Christ can set at liberty them that are bruised. Do we believe this tonight? Do we believe this enough to take Jesus Christ to people? When you see an unsaved person who's gone through this, you know, it kind of makes you a little bit more gentle with them. When you see the brokenhearted, when you see the lost, when you see the addicted, when you see the person who's just blind and lacks common sense and there's a void in their life, a divine-shaped vacuum, an emptiness there. When you see them abused, do we really believe Christ is enough, or do we think they've got to have drugs? They've got to have psychiatry or psychology. What do we believe tonight? Is our God enough for them? But when Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit, listen, what I'm trying to say tonight is everything he did was for other people. Are we a people person? Maybe our need tonight is to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. Your need, mine, if you're starting to sink back into selfishness and self-centeredness and, you know, forget the care ministry, forget discipling people, forget soul winning, I'm just going to go in and just maintain my ministry or play my instrument, sing, and then get out of the way. I've got my own life. I got enough on my own plate. And maybe you just need to go alone somewhere and spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to get back to people. Because Christianity is about people. We're not Christians. We're not trying to help others. So I want to just close, and I just want to give you five indicators. It says we should be meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And so sometimes there's people that say, and okay, you made your point, Pastor, today, this morning and tonight, we should be living for other people. I don't want to do it, but I need to, and I need to help the hurting. And one of the things that will help us is to be able to identify the hurting. Identifying the hurting. I want to give you five identifying marks of a hurting person. And then we'll just pray about this a little bit tonight. You can write these down if you want to, because it sure will help you. But the first thing is people's faces. People's faces. God made the face. And the whole human body can give out what some people have called body language. And if you look at other people's faces, we can become so preoccupied with our life, we can walk by 1,000 people in a day and never see one face. If we're not careful, myself too. But people's faces. Jeremiah is an interesting book. The Lord started out in the first chapter telling them, don't be dismayed by their faces. And then in chapter 5 and verse 3, he talks about the stubborn face. Chapter 7, verse 9, the confused face. Chapter 32, verse 33, the rebellious face. Chapter 42, verse 15, the worldly face. Chapter 51, verse 51, the shameful face. And it's just amazing how God goes through Jeremiah and just shows different kinds of faces that can be on people. He's just made the muscles of our face and so on to make expressions. There are people who've made a living off of using their face to be comedians. They really have. They don't have any talent. They just got a funny face. And they've been able to use some of you are thinking of some right now. And they're just funny. I mean, I look at some, I start cracking up. I don't know why. They're just funny to look at. But brethren, the face is one of the... God has made our faces so that our countenance is the Bible word. And there are some times where you can see a person with a drawn face or an oppressed face. And we need to look for pain in their faces, not sin. We could be too prone, if we're not careful, especially as fundamentalists, to jump over the pain and into a judgment on their sin. It's probably some kind of a sin or somebody else's sin that's caused the pain. But there's hurting people. When you come to church, you know, if you want to learn how to care for people, start your practice right in church. Look over the whole church auditorium. Do not even overlook the most faithful church member. They may be hurting. They may be hurting. If you catch one glimpse of somebody that just seems off a little, that may be the Lord leading you to go up to that person and say, brother, are you okay? Sister, are you okay? I can vividly remember the faces of people in my past who've quit the church, and I caught a glimpse of a painful look on their face, and I never did anything about it. And I wonder if it would have been a different history if I'd have gone up to them at that moment and said, brother, boy, just something doesn't look right. Are you okay? We may be enjoying everything, but others aren't. They're having difficult times. People's faces. Look at people's faces. Jesus ministered to hurting people. We've got care team members here that are ministering to hurting people. And God bless them. I thank the Lord for them. But we need more. They're doing a good job, but they need help. And you don't have to be in a care ministry to do this. You just have to be a Christian. But sometimes being prepared unto every good work. So I'm trying to give you a few things to prepare you. Number two is people's eyes. Not only people's faces, but have you ever noticed the miracle of the eye and how the eyes can tell you a lot about a person? Do you know who has the safest airports in the world? Israel. You know why? You ever gone there? My wife and I have been there. Tried to get out of there once with a little candle we got in Nazareth. And they took apart every suitcase, because Nazareth is under Palestinian rule. They took apart every suitcase we owned so we could get that little pottery thing home from Nazareth. But you know what they do in Israel? They don't do that at any other airport. They look you straight in your eye. Every single person that comes through it. With your ID. And they read the eyes of human beings. Wish we'd do that in America. Instead of all this nonsense we got going on at airports nowadays. Jesus said the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eyes. Are a person's eyes bright and alive, or are they dull and empty? You can tell that by looking at someone in church. We need to begin our care for people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we do it in the church, we become prepared to do it outside of the church. Do you know somebody, when you look in their eyes, whose eyes are dull and empty? Number three, people sitting alone. People who are alone, just in general, are often hurting people. There's so many stories in the Bible where the Lord found somebody who was alone. By the time that was over, man, what a miracle. I think of blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. He sat by the wayside begging, and he was alone. And he heard a multitude coming by him, and he asked, what does it mean? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Man, he started crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. He just began to cry out and to cry out and to cry out. And Jesus took time for the individual that day. And blind Bartimaeus was healed. And he was able to see. From that day on, he began to broadcast great things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you the story this morning about those going into the temple in Acts chapter 3. And everybody was going into the church that day to do their religious duty, but there was a beggar outside the church, and two men saw him. And that's the key, is seeing people. The key is to see people. The key is to realize we're not the only ones on this earth, and the world does not revolve around us. But to see people. And he saw this lame man who was lame from his birth. He never walked in his life. And James, Peter and John addressed him and said, look on us. He said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He got up and walked there leaping, praising the Lord. Later on, they were just fascinated in the meeting. All the religious people were in there. And you know, the Bible says, if you read it, this guy was holding on to Peter and John. I can just see him like this while they're preaching. Can you imagine? Here's a guy preaching, here's a guy preaching, here's a guy in between them standing there. He's having a good time. He hasn't stood up all of his life. He's holding on to these guys while they're preaching. They couldn't believe it. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, as a result of that one miracle, 4,000 people were saved. 4,000, no exaggeration. See, the thing that we might be missing in this church is we're overlooking the individual because we're so busy with our ministries or whatever. And as a result, we're missing miracles. that if one person would see somebody and minister to them and get them saved, they might not reach 4,000, but they might reach 40 in their life. Or 400, you never know. And we just came through a season to just... I want to be careful what I say here. We generated a whole bunch of new people that came through for these dinners over the last week and so on and so forth, but we didn't minister to many of them. Some that were assigned to tried to, but we didn't minister to many of them. Why? Because we weren't thinking that way. We weren't thinking that way. We weren't thinking, you know, I'm going to church, forget about myself. Lord, who can I minister to? And a bunch of them slipped through our fingers and slipped through the cracks, and we can try and follow up on them and everything. But, man, I couldn't get to them all. There was a lot of them around there. And we've got to be fit for every good work, prepared for the master's use. That's what we're trying to do, and this is why I'm bringing some of this out here. I'm not faulting you. I'm faulting myself, if anything, for not teaching this enough. People with their heads down. Here's another indicator that a person's hurting. In Luke chapter 18, 9 and verse 9 through 14, it talks about the publican whose head was down. He wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes to the Lord. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. People with their heads down, that's a sign. God gives us these outward signs of hurting people so that we can go to them. People who are afar off, number five. In a church setting, a lot of times they're sitting in the back. Not that the people in the back tonight are on their way out, but oftentimes as people are on their way out, you ask any pastor, they start sitting farther and farther and farther towards the back. Start missing a service here, missing a service here, missing a service here. Nobody pays attention to them. They've become ignored and taken for granted too long. They become like the furniture. You just say, well, they're members of the church. They wouldn't tear, quit. And we've had some good people quit over the years. We have got to somehow remember the messages today that we are, if we're going to be Christians, we're supposed to be people persons. It's all about people. And your ministry should be about people, and mentoring should be about people, and discipling, and so on and so forth. But we sang earlier a verse that's just profound, and it's again Fanny Crosby. She wrote so many songs, but she said, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Amen. There are people just crushed by the tempter. The devil's just done a work on them. And I'm talking about regular members. I'm talking about people here tonight hurting people tonight. But we have got to become fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. If we're going to be a people person, we've got to understand, we've got to look at people's faces, people's eyes, people sitting alone, isolated, people with their heads down, people who are far off. You know, when Peter got backslidden, it says he followed afar off. And pretty soon he was in the wrong crowd, wrong place. He took the worst fall of his life because he wasn't close to the Lord. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer tonight. I want us to think tonight about being people persons. Listen, we can't fake this thing called the filling of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus Christ, he ministered. He was a savior, a healer of broken hearts, a deliverer of addicts, a recoverer and an illuminator to those that were in darkness. He just shared wisdom with them. A liberator for those that were abused. And you and I need to capture these skills, seeing people that are hurting. And we need to minister to them as a nurse is gentle and cherisheth her children. And we need to start in church, and as we, I don't know what the word is, practice on each other. We will get the skills among the body of Christ to take it outside of the church and help other people. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. I just feel inadequate myself this day to really communicate what I'm trying to say. And Lord, I got some struggles even in my own life. Seeing the individual caring for people that are hurting. And some of these are good people, character people, disciplined people, but just going through hard times. Others have loads that are just too heavy for them to bear. And Father, we need your help. Our church, Lord, we've had a good year. It's been a fruitful year by our appearances in chapel. There's been some growth, even in numbers, there's been some growth in people spiritually. But Lord, this thing about living for people, some have it down really well, but some don't want anything to do with it. And we want to pray there'd be change wrought in us tonight. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, say the things I haven't been able to say very well today. That we wouldn't wait till we're in some kind of a care ministry or say, well, it's not my week, but to just give ourselves to the church, to not just impart the gospel to people, but to give our own souls and to the lost so they can be saved. Bless us as we sing our invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.